Moncrief on News Talk.
The Cambridge Dictionary has just announced its word of the year, and the word is manifest, but used in a particular sense, popularised by sundry celebrities. Manifesting means visualising a goal which, through some unexplained alchemy, you can bring into being. Variations on the idea have been around for a long time. For instance, the best-selling 2006 book, The Secret. Now, you might fervently believe in it, you might dismiss it as harmless nonsense, a retrospective explanation for good fortune. But can such ideas do actual harm? Sander van der Linden is a professor of social psychology at Cambridge and the author of Foolproof, Why We Fall for Misinformation. Sander, good afternoon.
Pleasure being on the show.
Why do people believe in this kind of thing?
Well, typically what you see is that, you know, when people are distressed, when they're looking for answers, you know, when things aren't going well in life, you know, maybe when society is going through a difficult transition, think about the economy, a pandemic, people are looking for hacks and quick fixes that will, you know, help them achieve success. And so psychologically it becomes attractive to watch videos that basically tell you, well, you've just, if you think about this enough, you can actually bend reality with your mind. And initially, that sounds kind of strange. But then when you hear success stories from other people in your social network, it's what we call social validation. It starts to feel like there might be something to it. And then people try it. And then they get recommended similar content by the algorithms. And before you know it, you're in a world of pseudoscience and conspiracy theories and wellness grifts.
Yeah. but if you're doing it, and there seems to be various ways of doing it, and you're not succeeding, would people not then, does the algorithm make them tend to make them feel, well, you're not doing it right, or you're not trying hard enough?
Yeah, I think there's a sense of what we call motivated reasoning, which is that if you are confronted with counter evidence, you don't actually change your beliefs, but you start thinking that the method that you're doing is not right. And so you try new variations, you even try harder, you become more obsessed with it. And so people, you know, it's much easier to think that you're just not doing it right than the whole thing being a sham. And so that's the easier option psychologically for people to take. And so that's why debunking sometimes isn't always effective, because, you know, it's hard for people, if you've already invested in this, it's harder to realize that maybe it just doesn't work.
Yeah. And now, some of the ways that this is described seems to involve a lot of ritualistic behavior.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes people just think, oh, positive thoughts, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But what we're talking about here with, when it comes to manifesting, there are actual rituals that are promoted on TikTok. So, for example, there's the 369 method, which means that you basically, you know, will into existence whatever thing that you're desiring 3 times in the morning, 6 times in the afternoon, and 9 times at night. And of course, when nothing happens, people don't stop believing. But then if something good happens to you by accident, you start thinking, oh, well, maybe it does work, because people misattribute the chain of causal events, of course, in a motivated way. So you selectively, you know, look at the successes and then attribute it to your method. And then people start doing it more and more, and they become more obsessed with it. And it becomes even a bigger ritual for people. Yeah. And then, of course, when it doesn't work out, it can be disappointing.
Is it akin to religion? Is it akin to praying for something?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I mean, I think it is akin to praying in some sense, but it's not quite institutionalized. And I would say it's a bit more relaxed and casual, because there's a lot of variations. I think some people are just doing it because they see a celebrity doing it and they wonder if it could work for them. And of course, you know, some people might say it's harmless, but it can be harmful. For example, if you're starting to think that you can just wish diseases away instead of actually helping people, right? And so that's where it can be dangerous. But if you look at you mentioned The Secret, this book, right? So it can turn into a cult, you know, where there's a whole movement and people get punished for bringing in, you know, counter ideas, or, you know, you might be dissuaded from turning to science. And so then it starts to act more like an organized network that's actually influencing and controlling people in more nefarious ways. So I would say it's not quite like religion, but there are some movements that do kind of behave like cults almost.
Yeah, I mean, what's curious about it is that the only explanation for it seems to be, well, I just put it out there in the universe, which sounds kind of maybe quasi-spiritual. Or are people supposed to infer that there's some sort of scientific basis to this?
Well, yeah, some people do believe in this, idea of some pseudoscientific, quantum mechanics that you're influencing energy with your thoughts, which is then influencing other things, right? So there is this sort of spiritual basis that you're interacting with matter through your mind, and that you can move energy around. So in that sense, I do think there's a kind of a spiritual explanation for it. And on the surface of it, if you use enough technical sounding words, it almost starts to sound scientific, and that's typically the hallmark of pseudoscience.
Ah, right, yes, because it's interesting in that because so many areas of physics are so complicated and so confusing and so vague that you can just use a few terms from physics and then, oh, well, that sounds like they know what they're talking about there. But like a lot of it is theoretical. Is this then classic? Is a lot of this classic misinformation then?
I would say that it certainly does have elements of misinformation. The concept on which it's based in terms of what we're just talking about, the laws of attraction, which, of course, does have some basis in physics in how, certain things attract each other. But then, of course, they take it to a fictional level where it starts to become misinformation. And so I would probably classify manifesting in terms of how we see it happen on social media as misinformation. And psychologists sometimes refer to it as magical thinking, which is a kind of superstitious belief that has no basis in reality, which, another way to describe that is misinformation. I'm not sure if people are doing it with ill intent. I think some influencers are looking to make money off of this and are intentionally duping people. But I think for other people, they're not doing this because they want to spread misinformation. I think some people are just looking for answers and unfortunately getting duped by some of these methods.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe not classic misinformation in the sense of political misinformation, which is deliberately targeted to mislead people.
Exactly. Or disinformation, right? Yeah. So disinformation would be, actively misleading people. But I think you're right that objectively it's not accurate information. So in that sense, it is misinformation.
Yeah. Does this all, I mean, obviously you've written a book about misinformation. Do we live in a world now, largely because I suppose of the internet, that anything can be true now?
Well, certainly, I think the model, the media model has changed. I mean, talking about legacy media now, and we have editors, we have producers, there's layers of fact checking, right? There's all these built-in guardrails to ensure that what we put out there at least tries to be accurate. But on social media, there are no barriers to entry. Anyone can say anything. There's no... nobody's forced to say anything factual. In fact, most, when you go online, look at health misinformation, for example, people will say anything, this diet, that diet, manifesting. And so really there's no control over the quality of the content that is out there online. And that's, I think, causing a lot of this feeling of post-truth and the fact that, people seem to be disregarding objective facts because how we engage with technology. And I'm not saying that just as an expert. I mean, I have little kids at home. When I go on Instagram, my feed is full of hacks on how to parent little toddlers, and sometimes, I get stuck in a hole of watching completely non-evidence-based advice on parenting, for example. And I think that's just a feature of how we're interacting with technology now. And we should all be more aware of that.
Mm, but what does that say about human psychology? I mean, we all like to think we know the difference between truth and not truth. But maybe we don't.
Yeah, I think what happens is that sometimes The vulnerabilities in how the brain works are exploited. And we have limited attention. We can't pay attention to everything. So our brains are highly selective in how we filter information, and we use heuristics. Who do I like? Who do I know? What does this resonate with what I've heard before? And that kind of makes sense if you think about how much information we have to deal with. But then, things can go wrong when we rely too much on those heuristics, especially on social media, where the base rate of misinformation is much higher because there's no quality control. And also because the algorithms, the way that they're feeding us information, right? That if you click on one video and it's kind of dodgy, it's supplying you more of it, and you click on it and you get more and more of it. And then you kind of, find yourself in an echo chamber of just unreliable information, and you don't even realize it in some ways. And so it's also about the way in which, we interact with technology and how that takes advantage of how we filter information from a psychological point of view. So yeah, I think it's hard to be discerning in the modern world. It takes more effort, and we're all busy people. And so how do we design systems that enable us to be more accurate rather than systems that are focused on bringing out the worst type of extremism and snake oil salesmen online? I think that's the big question, isn't it?
Isn't it just? Yeah. Sander, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That's Sander, excuse me, Sander van der Linden, Professor of Social Psychology at Cambridge and the author of Foolproof: Why We Fall for Misinformation. One texter says, manifesting is like praying, except you're talking to the universe and not God. Neither work, says this texter. Somebody else says, what about positive mental attitude as a spur to action, as opposed to just believing you will win the lottery if you wish hard enough? Maybe reminding yourself about your dreams over and over will make you take action. For example, if you wish for a rich husband, you might hit the gym, the salon and the boutiques and go to the Dublin Horse Show. We might just bump into Mr. Big. Well, indeed, but that's actually different from as I understand it, from manifesting. Manifesting is just thinking about it a lot, and it will happen.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.